acceptable in your time, O Lord, our Spirit, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Be seated. Turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 49. To do something about that. Yeah. There's something on the screen.
I was just saying it's being recorded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In Luke 12, verse 49, Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. And Father David promised I was going to have a word. I struggled all week because of that.
Hallelujah.
So I went back and I looked again. How often do I have to preach this? Of course, we know we're on a 3-year lectionary, so it comes every 3 years. Thank God it doesn't come every year, but it comes every 3 years, these lessons. These joyful, lovely lessons. Actually, you preached on it 3 years ago, David. You had this one 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had it 6 years ago. And Chris had it 9 years ago. That was because I was on sabbatical. And I don't know whether you took it or whether you gave it to one of the pillars. So. I don't know. Did you get it?
No. I got a good Samaritan.
Oh, okay. Anyway. All right. How many of you have ever attended a bishop's consecration? I know you have.
Actually, I was out on sick
leave. You were out on sick leave earlier, really? Oh my gosh. All right. Anyway, how many of you have attended a bishop's consecration? This, no? Okay. It's a sight to behold. It really, really is. I think in terms of the sight, all right, because when you're confirmed, the bishop sits in his cathedra and he lays hands on you, and it's just the one-on-one thing. Same thing is true when you're ordained a deacon, because a deacon serves directly under the bishop. But when a priest or a bishop is consecrated, the bishop is sitting in his cathedra with his hands on the ordinand. But in the case of a bishop, the ordinand is completely surrounded by other bishops. And so there's this incredible sea of red and all these pointy hats, okay? And you cannot see the ordinand. He's hidden under all of that red and those pointy hats, okay? Now there's significance to that, all right? And it comes directly from Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, sort of like a pointy hat, a red pointy hat, okay? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, the consecration of a bishop is not about the man. It's about the fire. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about God being present, making his presence known and manifest in a powerful, visual way that all men can see. Okay? And what we hear in the lessons today, Jeremiah, in Hebrews, in Luke, is God is fire. You hear it in all three of those lessons, all right? And when you think in terms of the biblical message, there is, God is fire. And by the way, the word fire appears over 450 times in the Bible, all right? And more than half of those refer to God himself. Pretty powerful. But think of the theophanies, for example. How did God appear to Moses? In a burning bush, in a fire. How did he lead them out of Egypt? with a pillar of fire. Okay? When Abraham set up his sacrifice and divided the animals, what was it that passed between the animals? A fire pot. You see, it's just over and over again. When Ezekiel, I'm reading in Ezekiel right now, it's wonderful, powerful words. The very beginning of Ezekiel, the vision that he has is of fire, and the four living beings are in the midst of the fire. And of course, in Hebrews today, what was the word, the final word that Maria read there? Our God is a consuming fire. God cannot be other than he is. God is fire. That's who he is. That's what he is. God is fire. And the message for us in all three of these lessons today is it's important, it's essential for us to embrace the fire. Embrace the fire. Now, in this gospel message we heard today, there's a lot of division. Father against son, son against father, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what we hear in that is that when the fire comes, there are those who are going to embrace the fire, and there are going to be those who reject the fire. But ultimately, what we see in that consecration image, with all of the fire, all the pointy hats and the red and all that, is you don't see the ordinary. Because, and here you go, repeat after me, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the kingdom. We want God to be, more often than not, we want God to be something other than he is, because if we really embrace the fire, we could get burned. And sometimes God makes us really uncomfortable. And so we hear various arguments against this. How could God choose one person over another? How could he choose the father and not the son, the mother-in-law and not the daughter-in-law? How could God, who is a loving God, do that? Or I hear it all too. I will believe in God when. That's about you. That's not about the kingdom. Or I had a bishop back in the Episcopal Church who used to say, oh, it used to drive me absolutely bam. But he would be, you know, in the middle of a sermon, he would stop me and say, well, the God I know would never. Oh, and you know better than God, undoubtedly. Or I hear sometimes, if God is love, why can my gay friends not be married? Or now they can. Well, they can't enter into holy matrimony. They can be legally married, but it's not holy matrimony. It's completely different. And so why? Why wouldn't God allow that? They love each other. Or if God is love, why is there so much pain in the world? If God is love, why dot, 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 dot. You see what I'm saying? I had a young man say to me not too long ago, if you were a real Christian, you would. And I won't fill in the last part of that, okay? Save you the pain of that one. But you see, fire is a good thing. Fire is a wonderful. We can warm ourselves at a fire. Fire brings not only warmth, but brings light. We use fire for cooking. Fire brings us power and energy sources, or is a source of power and energy. Fire is a good thing. And fire in a fireplace will warm a room. But a fire unattended can burn the house down. We need to pay attention to the fire. we need to embrace the fire. Yesterday morning when I was doing vigils, one of the psalms appointed for vigils was Psalm 145. And I was wrapped up in cogitating about what word I was going to bring to you today. And this verse just jumped out at me. In verse 9 of Psalm 145, it says, "The Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made." It's not that he's choosing one or another. It's not that he's judging one and not another. God is bringing his fire upon all of his people. He is bringing his merciful love down upon all of us. And those who embrace the fire embrace him. And those who reject the fire push him away. Do y'all see this? Are we okay? Everybody all right? Okay. It's not about you. And it's not about me. It is about the kingdom. And his kingdom comes in fire. One of the words, the prophetic words that was spoken over this congregation when we first began was that God was lighting a fire and that he was going to bring firebrands to us and they would be ignited and heated up and then be sent out into other places. Okay. You all, some of you who are here may remember that word. All right. Powerful word. When you think about the size of this congregation, it is truly, truly amazing how many lives have been touched by the fire that went out from the firebrands into all corners of the earth. But Amanda's dance ministry, how many hundreds of people have been touched by the fire of that ministry? Father Chris and Three Streams Family Health Center, as well as going to Haiti and Uganda. How many hundreds of lives have been touched by the fire of God through his ministry? Where's your husband? Oh, bless his heart. All right. Well, anyway, Hugh with Kairos Ministry. Oh, my goodness. How many hundreds of lives have been touched through Hugh and the Kairos, and also the Filkas are here, Ron Filka before Hugh. And how many hundreds of lives have been touched by that fire? And Susan herself, just even as a teacher, she's not allowed to preach, but oh my gosh, her life is a living witness to so many students. Or Deb and her work in the nursing home. Father David, Scripture Awakening, how many hundreds of lives have been touched by the Word of God being made manifest? And I can say something about each one of you. Because God has brought the fire and we have embraced the fire. And I encourage you, I exhort you, when the times get hard, and they are hard right now, and I believe, this is a prophetic word, I believe the times are going to be even more difficult in the days and weeks to come. Embrace the fire. Sadly, how many have come, they have encountered the fire and rejected the fire. I meant to look before the service started. How many hundreds of people have been members of this church and gone on? Some to take their firebrands to wherever they were going, like Diane and Carrie and others. And all too often there are those who have come and said, "Whoa, no, can't handle that." I remember when we first started, there was a precious lady who came. She came, oh my gosh, I guess she was with us for about maybe 6 months. And then finally, one Sunday, she came to me after the service and she said, "You guys take this way too seriously. I can't handle that." What's that?
She was honest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really sad because she had some really powerful prophetic words before she departed. Anyway. All right. But see, one of the words that we have been hearing over the last 3 years, maybe more, I don't remember exactly, is that God is dismantling his church and he is going to remake it in his image. One of the ways he is dismantling the church is he's bringing the fire and we're seeing the divisions. And those who embrace the fire are going to be the foundation for the remade church in the image of Christ. There will be division and there will be more division. But just like a fire in a forest that's set ablaze wipes out so much, there is always new growth that follows. And the new forest is even stronger than the old. I believe that's what the Lord is saying. We are to embrace the fire because he's going to bring new life, new hope, new power, new glory to his body, the church. Embrace the fire. But let me finish with this word. This is from St. Peter. In the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." Amen.